maybe a little bit more lengthy than normal. Try not to be extra long, but I do want to read two chapters together tonight in the book of Esther. The book of Esther. This book, of course, as you know, has been many times said that God's name does not appear here. But Matthew Henry says God's finger is seen everywhere in it. You think of how we just sang, the way of the godly men unto the Lord is known, whereas the way of the wicked men shall quite be overthrown. And how we see that here, where the godly have taken, have been taken under the wing of God Himself, whereas the wicked are being overthrown in this book concerning Queen Esther, and of course Mordecai, and really all the Jews in the captivity. But let's read, if you will, the first two chapters of the book of Esther. And just remember, as you're reading this, what happens. Remember the gallows that Mordecai has the unfortunate fate, not fate, but the unfortunate position of being the subject of their making. They, you know, Haman made them for him. Remember also the decree of Haman to exterminate the Jews. So keep that in mind as we read these first two chapters together. Let us again, as we come tonight to this blessed book, give our attention to this word. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. That in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even in 84 days. When these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so it was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Ashithar, Admatha, Tarshish, Miraz, Marsina, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the Queen Vashti, according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. When the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all this empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give unto their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. After these things, when the wrath of the king Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, and to the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, the Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, Whatsoever she desired was given her, to go with her out of the house of the women into the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheazagah, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now in the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken into the king Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head, and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth, and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to it for his own name's sake. Let us do ask the Lord's blessing upon the word as we come to it this evening. O Lord in heaven, read in thy good book, Lord, we want to see this to be profitable to us tonight, that with the comfort of scriptures we might have hope. Lord, bless this word to our souls and teach us, or take away man's thoughts, man's diversions. Lord, let us see the message God is writing to us here. Lord, give help. We might walk with Thee in this book tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak on this topic. God has already prepared His people's deliverance. God has already prepared His people's deliverance. We read of Esther and Mordecai in these two chapters. Before we come directly to them, just consider even the people that they were among. They were among the exiles that stayed in these foreign lands, Media and Persia and other countries. They were those who were not stirred up to come and build the temple. You see back in Ezra that the king there called upon all the Jews to go back and build the temple. And yet not all of them went. These that were left, such as Mordecai and Esther, were not stirred up with the zeal for God's house enough. Not to say they had no zeal, but they didn't have enough zeal at least to move back to Jerusalem to help populate it, to help build the walls and build the temple. Yet notice, we might think they were not as worthy to be protected by God, seemingly not as interested in the things of God as their brethren. But God does not deal with them. And this book, as we'll mention some tonight, and as you read the whole book, you'll find, according to their sins and to maybe their foolishness. But rather, He is gracious in His providence to these whom we might think upon the first reading to be unworthy of it. Of course, we all are unworthy, but even to be unworthy of this divine protection, since they did not stir themselves up to go back and to build the Lord's house and the Lord's city. But for these, this is the subject of the book, those in exile that did not take advantage of the great blessing of God through a heathen king, Cyrus, to go back and build. And yet even these, God is determined. And as I say, the subject tonight for us to consider is God has already provided and prepared His people's deliverance. In fact, as we read in the first chapter, and as we read in the second chapter, two things. God uses the sins of the wicked to prepare ahead of time the deliverance for His people. In chapter 1, we read of the king whose heart was merry with wine. In other words, he's drunk a little too much. He asked Vashti to do that appearance that she refused to do. We're not going to get into all that tonight. Why she refused it, and if it was should have been refused, and all those things. The point is this, though. Her refusal sent him into a rage. He was counseled to divorce her and to get another queen, which he did. These things, as you know, would not be sufficient according to Scripture to divorce. But yet, it was a thing that God used, because in that sin and its consequences, Esther was put into the office of queen. Notice at the end again of chapter 2, these two chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, they plot to kill the king Ahasuerus. But Mordecai knew of it. He told Esther, and Esther certified or acknowledged to the king, told him these men were doing that in Mordecai's name. Mordecai then was written down in the chronicles of the king in a very favorable light. And he protected the king's life. And also Queen Esther assured her own good standing by being the one who informed the king personally. God was putting these people into special places before there was even a danger. Haman had not done anything against Mordecai or against the Jews in general. And yet what? God's hand of providence is already putting the pieces into place to defend and deliver His people. Matthew Henry says this very wisely, "No step is yet taken toward Haman's design of the Jews' destruction, but several steps are taken towards God's design of their deliverance." I want to make this point to us tonight. We're not in Shushan, the palace. We're not in Media and Persia, in that vast empire of Ahasuerus. But we are the same people that the Jews were. There's one body of the church. It's all the elect. And in the visible church, which God preserves as well to preserve the invisible church, still the same organization. We're grafted into the same tree. may not be in Persia, but we're here in the same condition. Do we have spiritual troubles? We have troubles in our homes, troubles in our vocations, troubles in our church, troubles of finances, troubles in our educations, things that distress us, things of life that come upon us, that we are currently in. But these things have already been considered by the Lord. God has already taken even many steps, set things in place to deliver you. You won't know it right now. The Jews didn't know that until after the fact. But God has already prepared your deliverance. How many times we look at things and we're despaired? As Paul says, even of life. You think there's no way to fix it. There's no way to remedy it. There's no way to get out of it. There's no deliverance. Not that we can figure. But what? God delivers. And you look back and you can see, oh, well, that happened for me. That was in place before I even knew it was going to be a problem. And when it was, it got me out of it. Maybe people or things or circumstances. But God deals with His church in a way that preserves them, that delivers them. For Christ upholds all things by the word of His power. He governs all things unto the church, which is His body, in the Old and New Testament eras. This is how it is. The kings and the great ones of the earth, of course, think they're doing their own will and they're scheming to advance their own empires, their own interests, their personal status in whatever areas. The Lord looks, doesn't He? And He sees the wicked plotting against the just, or the wicked one even. We may not have, we may be coming into the government plotting against the just, and perhaps they already have some, but we definitely have the wicked one that plots against us, walking about as a roaring lion. He brings things, remember how He brought things to Job? And yet what? Christ is ruling that. He laughs because He sees His day is coming. The day when His plans will be fulfilled. The day when the pit He's dug, He will fall into it. And we can put it here, the day when the gallows He's built, He'll be hanging on it. But you notice though, all these things of putting Esther in place, of putting Mordecai in place, are before the trouble for the Jews, for the Old Testament church. God will deliver us from these troubles. In fact, He's already prepared, already put in place the necessary means to deliver His people from their distresses, from their threatenings, from whatever has come against them. Even if death comes to us, Christ has conquered death and it cannot hold us. Oh, we have the separation of the body and the soul. Death does not keep us. We go to be with Christ, and our body will be raised in the last day. We think about this tonight. We think about perhaps the plotting of Haman's, or Haman's, whatever they may be, against us personally or against even the whole church. Yet, can we not then heartily obey that great text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? It says, rejoice evermore In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why can a Christian give thanks when Haman is plotting against him, when the devil has laid snares, when God has allowed and permitted circumstances to go against His people in whatever area, in our souls or our families or in our labors or whatever? Because he knows that God is doing this for His good. It is the will of God in Him, in Christ Jesus, comes through our Savior. It's not haphazard. It's not arbitrary. And the deliverance is already laid in place. See, we're not those that have no hope. We're not those that have just, if we can come up with enough money, if we can come up with enough schemes, if we can maneuver to get out of our situations we find ourselves in, that providence has brought us in. No, we believe in God, in Jehovah who puts things already in place to deliver His people. And again, encourage yourselves. Maybe you look and you say, you know, I deserve to be here. I deserve to lose it all. I deserve to go down to the grave a spiritual pygmy. Or a financial wreck. Or whatever. But these Jews did too. These Jews didn't even have enough gumption, enough zeal to move for the kingdom of God's sake. What did God do? His gracious providence. He provided the deliverance even before. He didn't even make them wait longer than necessary, but He already had it ready. So they had the sentence against them. There was already those in place of God's foresight to provide the means of deliverance. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. May God bless His word to us tonight.